This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Vacation alert from the three-row Jeep Grand Cherokee L. Mama and Papa want to go hiking. Los abuelos want to relax at the beach. And the kids want to go to the amusement park. With seating for up to seven, you and your loved ones can enjoy all these adventures and more. Jeep, there's only one. Visit Jeep.com to learn more. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sir, we wear caps and sleeves at this level, son. Understood?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the California Penal League podcast. We are coming at you on the other side of the 2023 season, where we are playing games that matter. And we are recording just after... recording during the Guardians playing the Oakland A's in the opener of that series this week, but we do have the opening series wrapped up against the Mariners, where the Guardians took 3-4, which was very impressive given the 3-0 opening night loss, where for some people the sky was falling immediately and they came right back and answered.
Which I didn't post this online. But if I could, it would be the Bernie Sanders meme. I please implore you all to realize that the baseball season is not like the football season. One game does
or
not
even
make
the
a season.
Season.
Or the basketball season. Come on, people.
It's literally double. It's double the basketball season,
we're
guys.
Better than this. Every year, though. I mean, we're going on our third season, and every year at this point in time, we're always given the same... spiel.
Yeah.
I dream of a day where we don't do that.
That would be a utopian vision. I don't know if it'll ever happen because
No. I can only hope that our children's generation acknowledges this one day.
It is hard though. Sometimes I do get it because sometimes it's like when you watch like an opening game like that and it's kind of a bummer.
You watch it
and you're like, you know,
the pomp and circumstance around home openers are always, I get that. But even if we had gone 2-2 against the Mariners in Seattle, a team that's by all accounts going to be there towards the end of the season, that would have been amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we'll definitely watching this game is very fun live. Well, Brendan made a nice catch. Let's see, to start things off, we'll get to the opening series, but really the big news, the thing that really popped off before the games even started over the weekend was the Guardians locked up Andrés Giménez to a 6-year.
Seven year with a team option, I thought.
Or is it 6 years with, isn't it 6 years with a club option?
Well, I thought it was seven with a club. I thought it could be up to eight.
I thought it was six with the seven.
Let's take a look.
Either way, the Guardians have now I locked up their second baseman of the future. And he was definitely, Jimenez was certainly a player that I think people were wondering if he were to have like another good season, would he be somebody that like would be unsignable?
Yeah.
I would assume that it felt like that was kind of the vibe.
So, so to clarify, baseball, MLB trade rumors, 7-year, $106.5 million extension. There is he's going to make $5 million next year, $10 million in 25, 15 and 26, then 23 in each of the following three seasons.
Oh yeah, it is seven. I don't know why I had $4 million salary bonus
and a $23 million option for the 2030 with a $2.5 million buyout.
So I don't know why I thought it was six. I have no idea where that came from in my brain. Okay. But anyway, I mean, it's interesting because like a guy like Stephen Kwan, you know, I think we're all like, okay, also we should, you know, the Guardians should you got to sign him to an extension, yes. But he's not somebody I think when you look at, you go like, well, he's going to command
his skill set,
20 some million dollars.
His skill set doesn't demand the $20 million plus value. He's a guy that we could probably get for 15 to 18. Because as much as we love the high average, getting on base, Major League Baseball still as a whole, right now, at this point in time, still values those power numbers. So I think we can probably get him on the quote unquote cheap.
Yeah, I mean, so do fans, because people were, Mariner fans were going to war with Guardian fans over the weekend, just furious about how we were scoring runs.
Oh, they hate us.
One game we only hit home runs in, and it was as if like we were bunting, we were drag bunting every run we got in.
Yeah, right. It is fun to watch people like go nuts watching the Guardians. Like even tonight, I'm watching them fight back against the A's here, and who knows where it'll go. But they're stringing together 3-4 hits every inning, and they haven't broken out with like a huge hit yet. But like that would be really tough to watch.
And that's still with like guys like Bell not finding himself yet.
Yeah.
Right. So, So getting back to Jimenez. So 7-year deal, right?
7-year deal.
Possibly 8. Either
just
way.
Just north of $100 million for those 7 years. I believe I read it was the highest pre-arbitration deal given to like a second baseman ever.
Okay.
Which, I mean, second basemen tend to get paid less than shortstops. I mean, the rumblings last time we recorded about a week and a half ago were that Ahmed Rosario was going to get an extension. I still think, as of this recording, it's the first game in the Oakland series. We still have 4 days before the home opener on Friday, the 7th. I think that there's another deal that's going to get announced. That's just me. I know we didn't talk about that pre-show or anything like that.
What would be your dream deal? Well, like, what's your dream person? Is it Kwan?
I'd like Kwan. I could see if they held off on Kwan for another year. I'd also like Rosario for the sense that it gives us a guaranteed knowledge of what the contract situation is going to be on the infield. And then we can shop some of those prospects potentially. Those prospects probably do lose some value in that scenario, though. But either one of those two, I think, would be my top choice.
Realistically, yeah. Because, I mean, it would be nice to have a Shane Bieber extension, but like, oh, I think yeah, that Shane Bieber and
Tristan McKenzie. Tristan McKenzie, I think, is also kind of in the same boat as Kwan, if you ask me. Give it one more year, and I think those are the two guys you're talking about next year getting extensions.
Yeah. They're going to have to lock up McKenzie because it would appear that Bieber could be
heading out after next year.
Heading out. Yeah.
Because yep. he's got this year and next with the team. And by all accounts, they don't look like they're going to move him.
Not anytime soon. They might just play him out.
They could. And I mean, and this is something we haven't talked about in the past because this is something that the club does not do. They do like to try to get, you know, some prospects in return. But you would get a comp pick. You'd probably get a very high comp pick. Now, that's not sexy because any draft pick's probably going to take 3 to 4 years before they make any impact on the Major League roster, but he's not walking away completely for free. He's also getting up to that age, you know, where you tend to wonder his longevity. But I think we've all made it abundantly clear that we think that he could buck that trend and pitch well into his mid-30s.
And it'll be interesting because a guy like, so the thing with Jimenez that you saw thrown out there was the reason that he kind of signed the extension was because he's sort of following the leadership example of Jose Ramirez.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking about how he wants to be a part of something. And when he came over from the Mets, Jimenez, they helped him reconfigure his entire approach at the plate. And so there's a lot of resources here for him. And he's very comfortable here. It's a great organization. They're building something. They're still the youngest team in baseball.
Yeah.
For him, it's a no-brainer. He's still getting paid, you know, what? Almost a little less like than $20 million a year or something like that. So, like, for him, it's kind of just the next in that line of, like, let's build something here and still get paid, like, a fair amount. Like, Cleveland is sort of bucking their own narrative of being like, you know, they're going back to what they used to do in the 90s, which like teams like the Braves and the Rays have started to take, which is like, hey, look, we've got young talent. Let's lock it up when they're willing to get that security. So
and people were starting to say that, like, you can't,
I wonder that about Shane Bieber. Will he want to be a part of it is my point.
Yeah. I mean, it takes two to tango. I mean, we always kind of throw out our hopes and wishes, but it does take two to tango. So, like, I want to throw that out there first. But if I were him, and again, obviously I'm not, because I'm behind this microphone and he's out in Oakland. I'd really look to get into my, I'd be willing to sacrifice a couple of years of free agency. 2 years.
The grass is always greener.
He's still going to be 30. He's still going to be 30 when he hits that free agent market if he signs an extension that carries him through 2 years. And 4 years here in Cleveland, 4 years here still in Cleveland gives you plenty of time to get something done.
And if you don't get it, that gives you, it gives you a couple of playoff runs, probably, especially the division you're in. You're going to be able to pump up your numbers, have a chance to be like a Cy Young finalist all 4 years, and then you can get the bag. Because if Shane Bieber finishes the next four, like let's say they do a 2 year extension, next 4 years, he wins one more Cy Young and he's a finalist for another Cy Young. All of a sudden, you're talking about, you know, 30 plus a year.
Yeah. And he's probably getting paid, 20 to 24.
Right.
You know,
look to the Angels to do it. Or the Rangers, their prime candidates to pay Bieber like $38 million a year.
Honestly, you know what I would do? I'd play out this year with Bieber, and I'd go to him and go, 3 years, $75 million. Or thereabouts.
Yeah, because he's going to
put it out there, bank. Man. You know,
he's going to make a lot on that arbitration year where he'd probably get $16 million or something like that.
Yeah, so pay a little extra on that.
Nine more.
And then you get a little bit of that out.
Then it's almost 30. Basically, you're at 30 for those other 2 years. So, I mean,
that's what I would do.
Yes. Yeah. I hope he, I hope they can get something done. I definitely don't think it's anything this year. I think they're going to wait and see. Because also, as happy, as good as everything went last year, we stayed relatively healthy. And, you know, as bad or average we think the rest of the division is going to be, who knows? It's good to just kind of wait and see on some of these guys, because we assume it's going to be another 90-plus win season. Baseball is weird, though, and sometimes
things
don't work.
I do take a little umbrage with that we stayed healthy. Savali and Plesac.
That's fair.
We'll get into Plesac later tonight.
We got lucky that we lost the bad 40% of our pitching rotation. But yes, that's a good point.
Those guys missed so many games.
They did.
So,
and Bieber was coming back from an injury, so he wasn't. Wasn't in like top form for the first half of the year.
No, not at all. Which, note we do need to speak on was Sam Hench's post All-Star game numbers from last year. I know we're not scheduled to talk about that tonight, but a stat came up during yesterday's game. It was 6-5 win in extras.
Mm-hmm.
Where Sam Hench had like something like 29 appearances and like about just under, 29 and 2/3 innings or something like that. And his ERA was 0.30 post All-Star break last year. Like, we gotta give Sam Hench's like a little like kudos right there, because
definitely
the bullpen man. Oh my
God. Well, that's the thing about opening weekend too. So Sam Hench's, you drop him, with the shoulder injury, and it's like, oh man, there goes your lefty. And like a dominant lefty.
Yeah.
And then they just slot in Tim Aaron, and they're just like, hey, like, what if we just cloned Sam Hench's, another tall lefty who can throw 98 miles an hour?
They really did.
I
haven't thought about that until you just mentioned that. They really did.
It's crazy. I mean, and that's like I never in a million years would have like thought that he would have broken some record by just striking out four dudes in a row in a major league debut. Like, how has that never been done since 1901? That's crazy.
It's tough.
Getting four strikeouts in a row is tough, right? It is tough, but it's like, man, I cannot believe nobody else ever did that.
I thought it was like 1890.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So Armo Doyle. So
another decade further back.
Yeah.
Yeah, back when the ball was like made of yarn and they were playing just sticks they found on the way to the park.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So what I saw over the weekend was like, sure, they came back, they answered coming back from that opening loss, but like, it's pretty incredible. You're talking about the youngest team in baseball. You drop that first game. You're in Seattle. They're a playoff team. They're going to be in the mix. To come back and kind of like take it to them three games in a row and like do it through a mix of like you said, Fabs, it was like they won one game 2-0 by hitting solo homers. They had a offensive, Kwan has 5 RBIs one night. They have that game where they claw back on Sunday. It's like, you can see the maturation of the roster right there, where they come back, they take those three games, the bullpen is locked down. Just all around, just fantastic baseball that they played. And it's like, you look at it and you're like, oh, this team's like, they already look like they've sort of like, know they belong. And taking that step a little bit.
So, just to give further credence to the one point you made, they are the youngest team in baseball by nearly a full year on average.
It's crazy. The
average age is 27 years and 15 days old at the start of the season. The next youngest team was the Rays at 28 years and 44 days.
Wow.
Do they have anybody over 30? Like, what do they have? Like, one dude over 30? Two?
Zunino might be. I mean, us at the ages of 35, 34, 36 would be the old men there.
Oh yeah, we'd be like my old vets.
And I'm only speaking for myself. I don't feel that old.
Yeah.
And now
yeah,
maybe Mike I'm living in some like kind of like midlife
Zunino's crisis. Zunino's 32.
Like, dude, there's something about this team the last 2 years where it's just like they this youthful exuberance, it's contagious.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can,
I love it.
Can you know how I can say it.
They are fun as hell to watch. They're you knew it last year, but even just watching that Seattle series, it's like they just look more established. They look more,
oh yeah.
You know, guys look more comfortable at the plate. Like yes. Andre Jimenez, it's like, oh my God, this is and I know I pegged him as like somebody more like, I don't know. Like, you know, I don't know if he could, and he certainly could still, obviously. But like, I wasn't sure if maybe he'd still have that same kind of approach to start the year. But like right off the rip, he looks like a superstar. And Josh Naylor looks healthy.
Yeah.
And he's hitting well, you know,
except when he goes up against lefties, which I don't know what
randomly he was pinch hit.
No, what he was thinking about that game one. Lefty.
Like, I'm not quite sure about that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Tapper back to the mound in an error. It's like, well, okay, it all worked out. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you can't look at the team now and just, I don't know, be pumped. It should be a fun year. It should be a really fun season. Cause like they're notoriously slow starters and it's hard to start on the West Coast like that.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I just feel like you're kind of watching something different. It's hard. You know, it's like, I love baseball for all its statistics and analysis and stuff. Like I just love the numbers of baseball, but I also like just the vibe. I'm also like the vibe of this team is good. So,
it's so fun.
The vibe. Yeah. Yeah.
It feels very healthy. It feels, you know, guys get along. The energy carried over from last year, which is sometimes hard. And yeah, I just, it's fun. It's really fun knowing that you can, there's just like these cool little storylines to watch for the development of some of the younger guys and, you know, are more established just to see what Jose does this year and to be at the beginning of it. Cause it's such a long journey. You can get really burnt out if you're just going all in every single day, freaking out every single day. And to just know that you should have an exciting season ahead of you. Cause we've had those years where, you know, 2009 to 2013, it was just pretty brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, those 3-4 years, yeah.
And a couple in the, you know, early 2000s. But we've been fortunate, thankfully, to not, you know, have a decade plus. Like, I don't even, if you were a diehard Pirates fan, my God, I need to buy you a drink because it's such a long season. Like, the good thing about, you know, the NFL, if your team's shitty, you probably know it by week 4 or 5. And then you can just start preparing for the draft. You can watch college football and see what great young player they're going to hopefully draft.
Mm-hmm. And baseball, the rebuilds in football can happen as quickly as 2 years.
Yeah, you can get excited about, oh, cool, we got, you know, the Bengals. Cool, we got Joe Burrow. Yeah. Like, it might take 3 or 4 years, and they got lucky. It took 2 years until they were competing for a Super Bowl. But at least it's something that you can be optimistic about. Yeah. Baseball, oh, my God. It could take 6 years till guys you draft pan
out. It could take decades. I mean, like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. If you look at the division, just the AL Central, how long have we been hearing about some of these top prospects in the Tigers organization? Mm-hmm. It's going on 3 years mm-hmm. now. How long have we been hearing about some of these top prospects in the Royals organization? It's probably going on 4 to 5 years now.
But then you start to like, you start to get a top prospect or two, and it's like they come up and they're not really performing, and then it's like, like, what do we do?
Exactly.
Yeah. The other thing too, though, that always you were talking, Fabs, it's like, you know, enjoying the journey of it and not getting so wrapped up in like every single game to start. That's like, this is like kind of a side note. That's the thing that like drives me so nuts about like what they do at like John Boy and Barstool, where they like film those fans, like the like, you know, they've got like a Yankees super fan or some shit at John Boy. And like, so I think it was like that game the other night where like they grounded into a double play against the Giants to end it. You know, it was like, it was the game two or something. Yeah. Something like that.
Right.
And the guy like was like losing his mind as if it was like game six of the ALCS, where he was like super pissed. And it's just like, that's so like, I can tell it's so staged, and it drives me so nuts when people do that.
But it sucks because then, I mean, you know, I like a couple of things Barstool has done, mainly just the pizza videos, if I'm being real. But that the type of people they attract, though,
yes,
are going to be these like aggro assholes who then think it's cool to like lose their shit at just a normal baseball game and do something to hurt somebody, act out, ruin an experience for a young kid, where it's just like, dude, it's June 5th. You're 9 games above you, like the division, and like you lost 3-2. Like, chill out. You don't need to like, and also, suck like much, dude, a dad. Dude.
Fabs, I'm sorry to cut you off, Steve, but Fabs, you brought up a point 100%, 110% can't agree with more, as Will Brennan just throws a missile.
That was,
to
that
get
was
a dude out at home. That was awesome. Will Brennan, the man. I was at a game later in the season. I'm going to say it was August. Now, this gentleman probably had had a few beverages in a 3.5 hour long game, which, again, we're going to probably get to and cover that here shortly, because those things are a thing of the past, hopefully. But, you know, we gave it up in, like, the 8th or the 9th. I can't remember which inning it was. But the dude was so pissed off, he tipped over a cash register out in center field.
And
he's yelling at the dude on the mound, who's some 400 feet away, who's not going to hear him, and everybody kind of just stops and stares at this dude and goes, "What the heck?" But he falls into that Barstool John Boy, probably, you know, cult following of, you know, of guys who are just a little bit younger than us. And I'm not going to lie, you know, I follow both of those accounts, and some of the stuff they put out there is amusing, but you can't get upset about a bad weekend in June.
Right.
Especially when it's against a quality team. Now, if we go off and lose 12 against the Tigers and Pirates and Reds and Rockies, yes, get upset. But it's a long season.
Yeah, the closest I got to upset last year was when they dropped like, what was it, like 8 or 9 in a row in that stretch against like the Angels.
Yeah,
and stuff last
year. And the Angels were like, even hot then, at that time. The Angels were hot at that time.
Yeah, and even then, I knew it was like, it's only May,
exactly,
or it's only April or whatever it was.
And I'd have to go back. But wasn't May our only month of the season where we were sub 500?
And I'm pretty sure it was.
I think we were like 2 games below 500 too.
I'm pretty sure it was. Yeah, and you know, I know it's we're talking about it being a long season, but just getting 3 of 1. As I start to kind of like look at scoreboard throughout the teams, I think are going to be like
are you scoreboard watching already, Fabs?
No, I'm not scoreboard watching.
Okay.
Well, I did go to the MLB standings page today. I will fully admit.
I won't lie. I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I did too.
But just knowing, like, teams I think are probably going to be in the hunt.
Yeah.
You know, come playoff time, getting, you know, knowing that we're going to play fewer games against Seattle. I think we only get them one more time. And
it's the opener. It's this weekend. It's,
yeah.
Right.
We're done with the Mariners come April, by April 10th, we're done with them.
Right. So you want to get the season series because then you have the tiebreaker.
Yes.
So like two and two would have been fine. Going 3-1 against them, while the teams might look completely different. I mean, look at what the Guardians, who they started with last year, and what we ended up by the time we got to the postseason. So that might change. But getting those like series victories against teams that are probably going to be positioning for playoffs late in the year, you know, I think it's important. You know, if we, you mentioned the Rockies. If we go 1-2 against the Rockies, I mean, that stinks because I don't think they're going to be very good.
No,
that's not going to impact us. Like that's not, other than the losses, like that's not going to be a tiebreak scenario later in the year.
Yeah. So you did mention one thing, you know, we got fewer games against the Royals and Tigers, but we have more, you know, but that offsets with a series
Pirates.
To Pittsburgh and Colorado and Miami and there's so many other, and the Diamondbacks, you're like,
the Nationals,
there's so many other series that actually get added to it that I didn't even think about this on our last episode when we were doing our over-under for the win total, and I'm not going to retroactively go back on my win total, but like, that's like, I started thinking, I go, oh shoot, like, you know, we got like two or three more series worth of games against bad teams than we did last year. That should help us.
Mm-hmm. Conceivably. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's see what else might help the Guardians in the realm of new rules. Obviously, yes. The one thing, so there's a couple things. I know we're going to talk pitch clock, but I have been very intrigued by the amount of teams running absolutely wild.
Yeah, and as you say, that's funny that you mentioned that, and maybe you're watching the game right now, but it does appear that Miles Straw just stole another base.
It does look like it's getting challenged, and we'll see.
And it's being challenged, but it looked like he was safe.
Yeah, you never know with the challenge. So certainly it's the bigger bases. Stolen bases
are like double over the first weekend from last year.
He's safe.
It was like 40 last year to like 80 this year. I know my numbers are slightly off, but.
Bigger bases. And also, I wonder, too, there's the disengagements per plate appearance.
Yeah.
And guys are just like, F it. I'm running. Like,
well, so, I mean, and maybe though, maybe some of our listeners didn't catch who was it? It was from the Mets. Why am I drawing a blank? During the preseason. Lindor? No, not Lindor.
Oh.
Oh boy. Scherzer. Max Scherzer. Oh, okay. Oh my gosh.
I forgot he's on the Mets.
Yeah, he's on the Mets because they're geriatrics. but he was toying around with that pitch clock in a couple of bats to pitcher or to batters. And but conversely, I've thought like, hey, if you're a good base runner, like the Guardians have a couple of, you know, between Straw and Kwan and Jimenez and even Rosario, even Jose, you know, we got five quality guys who are smart on the base path. Even Bell, you know, people don't think of Bell as a good base runner, but he's a smart base runner. He's not going to get 20 stolen bases, but you know, we have a number of smart base runners who can toy with pitchers to mess with that pitch clock too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I mean, the Guardians must have, I don't know if they were prescient in this philosophy, knowing this was happening, but like being a fast team, it is killer. It with these new rules.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
It's absolutely a plus to be a team that not only gets on base, but is like crazy fast.
So there's a number
and
of
just wreaks havoc.
We're a fast team. We're good at getting balls in play, getting on base, and we're a young team. A lot of these guys have played with these rules in the minors to some degree.
That's true.
That's a good point.
Well, let me ask you guys this. How have you felt watching it with the pitch clock? Just in general? Where do you land on it?
Initial reaction? I'm sorry, Peps. Go, you go.
I was gonna say I've liked what they did because in spring training, honestly, like, I was going crazy where they had the countdown like front and center, and they've done a good job of hiding it in the little base thing. Like right in the middle, it's very subtle. I like it. I like that games are over in about 2.5 hours. Like, I think that's a normal amount. That's what a hockey game is. That is what a basketball gamer is. That's a soccer game.
Yep.
The Guardians just tied the game. Football is the one thing that's this weird outlier, but even the NFL, it's only 30 minutes more. The NFL is like 3 hours guaranteed. Yeah. College football, that's a whole other, like that's an all day, but college football has its place because it's like the traditions. It feels like it's more suitable for like, this is going to be an all day thing. You go and watch, you know, if you're going to the OSU game, you go watch Skull Session, the band.
They're even talking about trying to speed the games up too. College football.
Yeah, I know they're looking at some of the NFL rules for continuous clock, which I would be all about that. That'd be amazing. I've liked it so far. I mean, I do a 2-hour game, that's a little quick. I think we're going to see an adjustment next year. I think they're going to increase it to 17 seconds and 22 seconds. But like, I'm for the most part, I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I'd echo those same sentiments. I do think there can be some extension of some time. You know, the Guardians have had played two games that are, pretty close to 2 hours. And they've also played two games that are about 3 hours. I think the happy medium, like you've said, Fabs, is probably in that 235 to 240, 245 range.
Yeah.
Though I was speaking to a friend earlier tonight, and I said, you know, look, would I mind a 2-hour game against the Tigers in the middle of June or July?
Oh, when it's super
hot? No, that's I will great. Not yeah. mind that because I'm so done with seeing the Tigers and the Twins and the Royals and the White Sox.
But I would also take like lifetime. I would take a 2-hour game though in like freaking April when it's like 45 degrees out and I'm at a game too.
At the same time, like, you know, I do enjoy a little bit of time to spend with friends or family at a game. So that 2.5-hour mark seems like the perfect amount where it's like it's shorter. It's 40 minutes shorter than it was in the past, but it's not going by like the snap of a finger in 2 hours. I jokingly text you guys, you know, after the home opener, or not the home opener, but opening day. I barely had enough time to have two drinks in that 2 hours,
right?
In 14 minutes that it took the game to play. You know, fans will adjust. Like, fans will adjust. And
also, the cool thing that the thing that's different with baseball, though, you can get there an hour early. Like, NBA, you can't really get there. Like, you can get there 30 minutes early, but like they often don't open the arena. Like, at least you can watch BP and stuff. So if you're like worried about,
I think gates open like 90 minutes before first pitch most times.
Right. So you can have a 4-hour experience at the ballpark.
No yeah. Doubt. Yeah. So what I think what teams will do after this they start digesting things, because the one thing I mentioned to both of you, is look, you know, this could hurt concessions. You know, I jokingly said, oh, I only had two beers. You know, if I go to a game, I can have 2 to 3 drinks in a game if I get there early enough. I wouldn't be surprised if you start seeing gates open 2 hours before a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it used to be where you could go and watch like batting practice.
You could watch.
I mean, you used to be able to do batting practice, but I could see that. Yeah. I could definitely see that.
I think that's where you're going to see some tinkering is maybe you add an extra couple seconds in between pitches, like you said, Fabs. And I think teams will start opening the gates a little earlier too.
Yeah, I mean, it's all stuff that they're going to sort out. Like, it's like it's just like a great that they have the experiment, that they're trying something and that it's working so quickly, like right off the bat, pun intended. That like clearly you're shaving 30 minutes off. You're like trimming the fat of a baseball game right off the rip. I would say after watching it, what I would like would be the two things that I would think would in a regular season format. Because I think they should get rid of it in the playoffs. But the thing that I think would help would be you can, as long as the pitcher is in the set before the time runs out, he can pitch anytime after the clock stops or runs out. So you just like have that. To be set before the clock is out. And then you can pitch rather than pitching before the clock. That adds like 2 seconds of like that nice flow. And then I would get rid of the 30 seconds in between batters because, like, that's bullshit. Who cares? Like, I know it usually probably isn't even that long anyway, but, like, if you just, like, let it flow that way and let guys have walk-up music and stuff, I think that would be cool.
I love walk-up music. That's important. I think
can't hear... If I can't hear somebody blasting some Blink-182 between pitches...
Blink-182, yes.
I'm gonna lose my shit. I'm not gonna laugh.
Fabs, we're going to that concert, so yeah, don't talk shit.
Don't laugh. Don't laugh. At
I agree, dude. That's I love Blink-182. That's amazing.
Like, because that would be my walk up music too. And I was like, if I can't get in the zone, listening to Mark and Tom.
Dude, I would
I
would play Freak Me by Silk. That would be my walk-up music. The nastiest song ever that no kid should hear.
You'd be playing Pony by Genuine.
I would play some weird stuff.
I totally would.
Yeah.
If I was in a funk, I'd be like, play some weird-ass music, man.
I'd be like...
Play the song that all male strippers dance to.
Yeah.
Done. I'm not... clothes aren't coming off.
But that would be that would be my way to just tweak it. I could add the time, but I like the idea of letting the pitcher have the full time to just get
set.
I don't like that they get them, that they ding them.
Well, and we've even talked about this offline and various texts, but like a guy like James Karinchak is looking like he has been struggling. Yeah. Like that dude is trying to do like the same like pre-pitch routine that he was doing last year for 40 seconds in about 15. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the first outing, I was too worked up about him fucking things up.
Your kids were taken away.
Yeah. but yesterday's game on Sunday, he was doing that like little ball toss thing, and it was like, am I watching this in real time or is the TV sped up? It's like, no, this was real time. He's just trying to get through his damn routine.
It's crazy, man.
The 20 seconds that he was allotted. And I was like, dude, bro, take an edible something or have a beer in the bullpen. I don't know.
Like every other pitcher's got to deal with it.
But yeah, everybody else has to deal with it.
I got to give Karinchak a little bit of credit, though. Like, I feel like baseball has actively put in rules the last two seasons to severely limit what his bread and butter with the sticky stuff and
taking his damn old time between pitches.
Everything, yeah.
Poor guy. Maybe that's why he hasn't gotten an extension yet.
Probably, yeah. I don't think that's coming.
Yeah,
unless it's by January 6th.
Oh, Fabs.
He'll be signing on the back.
Rule number one was we were not political.
He'll sign on the back of a piece of paper.
Right now, did you see this? He's in New York protesting.
I heard that he would sign a contract extension on the back of a piece of paper he took from Nancy Pelosi's office.
These are all jokes. We don't want to start
joking.
We don't want to start anything. You know what, though? That's a good segue. If there was one guy we could get off this team.
Oh, my God.
It would be mother effing Zach Plesac.
So here's the thing about Zach Plesac.
I'm done with him. Clearly, I think the team is probably done with him.
But they just got to figure out what the path forward there is. But here's the problem: I'm watching him in the Oakland game. This is nothing new. Everybody knows this. But like his biggest problem is he, first of all, doesn't have the velocity on his fastball, and he doesn't have the control that Bieber does, where that doesn't matter. Where it's like he cannot spot his fastball the way that a guy like Bieber can. And every other breaking pitch he has isn't a plus breaking pitch.
And he can't throw for strikes. He grooves half of those breaking ball pitches.
He can't throw for a strike unless it's right down the middle. So, like, he just is a pitcher who kind of fills a spot at this point in his career. He doesn't do anything exceptionally well.
When he's on his best, he's a middle-of-the-rotation pitcher. Can we all agree with that?
Yeah, he's a fourth starter. Yeah,
three, four. Yeah, 3-4 is what I would give him, but he hasn't been on his best
in 3 years.
Yeah, I would say two.
It's 2021. I would say at least two. Pretty good. Yeah,
yeah. I'm probably being a little generous.
Clearly he's got I wouldn't call it the yips, but he's got like clear like frustration.
I can tell you what it is. And I told you guys both this before we started recording tonight. He's got that Bauer and Clevenger stink on him. He was the third stooge of that group. I don't want to lump him in there with those guys, but that's the only thing I can come to, you know, without being in the clubhouse day in, day out. You know, and reading things online, that's the conclusion I have to come to.
Yeah.
Dude's like broke his hand punching a mound like last
punching,
year.
Punching a mound and taking his shirt off aggressively.
Right.
It's like our team is like, I know baseball attracts weirdos. We all played it for that very reason.
Yeah, like, why do you think I succeeded?
This team's like, I don't know, this team is like pretty, a lot of pretty smart dudes. And, you know, I know we were ragging on Karinchak, but like, I feel like he is like our oddball bullpen weirdo. That's cool. Like
we can live with that. Like, we can live with that. That's
absolutely,
there's no problem there.
Plesac just like doesn't fit in at all with what the rotation is like anymore. And it just, we have too many good young options, not even talking about the big ones that are in like AA, AAA.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about those guys. We just have so many, like Xavion Curry came in, pitched 5 innings today because Plesac couldn't do his job in the second. And he rocked it. Like we just have too many good young guys to like waste any more time on Plesac. And I'm praying to God when we did our over unders, I'm praying we greatly overestimated what Plesac number of starts he was going to get.
I took the under.
You did.
What did I set it at? 10 and a half?
I think it was
10 and a half.
Seven or five. But if he has like one or two more outings like this,
dude,
it's three.
Well, I hate to say this too, but like, again, maybe there's a team out there. I don't know who the frick it would be at this point.
Maybe. Any rebuilding team. Any team that needs any depth would
do the Reds.
They would take a flyer on him. I mean, like,
they'll give us a top prospect for him. They'll give us Joey Votto.
You know who actually would probably
I would take Joey Votto on a trade.
The Rockies would probably I bet you the Rockies would take a flyer.
I can't imagine how shitty his numbers would be in the Coors Field.
You know, nobody deserves that, where it's like, hey, sorry you struggled so much with us. We're going to ship you a Coors Field. Yeah.
Here's a guy who had a 4.2 ERA, and it balloons to a 6.7.
Yeah, the career killer. Yeah, it's a bummer, because, like, certainly you would want, like, he's had flashes, but I think
he has, like, when he's had those flashes, he's a number three. But the problem is, they're flashes.
Doesn't have the consistency. It's just not there.
Yeah,
and you're not going to last. It's the same with the position players and the lineup. There's a reason why Franmil Reyes and Bobby Bradley aren't on this team anymore. And it's going to be the same reason why, like, Zach Plesac's not going to be on this team much longer if he can't, like, produce. There's too much young talent coming up. Tanner Bibby, we just mentioned, or we talked about it before the recording, Chris, is like, if he gets like 3 or 4 starts in Columbus, you're going to be like, yeah, that dude's coming up.
We were saying before the episode, like, how many starts can you truly put up with Zach Plesac pitching like how he started tonight? And I was saying 5?
I was going to say, like, 4 to 5.
Like, that gets you kind of into May. And then it's like, but is it fair to the Bibbies, the, you know, the others that would be in consideration? Like, hey, like, you haven't had a whole lot of time at this level to come in and be expected to do better, you know? So, like, that, there's that problem. Heck, you know, you brought up Xavion Curry, Fabs, you know, Steve, you brought him up before we even recorded. I'd give him a shot to kind of bridge the gap. He's a guy that I've liked for a while. He's definitely that kind of, like, fifth, sixth starter type guy where, you know, maybe he gets pushed to the pen and he's kind of a long inning, you know, breaking case emergency type, but yeah.
And this is all with, like, McKenzie out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. You're even considering getting rid of Plesac with your number two starter out for 6 more weeks. Like, you must be doing something wrong if they're like, yeah, we bring up 2 of the guys, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we can't stomach another start. You're not going to be able to outslug, like, they're, you know, they came back against the A's, but, like, not every team is the A's.
You can't do that. Like, no offense to the A's. We all know what the A's are going to be. The A's are probably going to be a 100-loss team easily. Like, they might not even get 60 wins. Which is saying something, because the old adage goes, you know, you win 40, you lose 40, and everything else in between happens. And so if you can't muster 20 more wins, that's saying something about that club. I mean, that club's, they got a lot to work on there.
They do.
But yeah, no, I told Steve, right off the rip, you know, middle of May is some magical date in my mind. Maybe it's because that's the date when you can start bringing guys up and they don't, their service time doesn't count towards this year because they've spent enough time in the minors or whatnot. But I mean, that's about 5 to 6 starts. And quite frankly,
Miles Straw might get 100 stolen bases this year. Sorry, you're just like the pitcher. He was just standing there, halfway down the face.
Well, was that a steal or was that indifference? Like, I want to know
what they might call that ruled. Indifference. I wonder if they'll call that indifference.
No one even batted an eye. They're like, bye.
It's only a 2-run lead.
I know. Like,
come on, man. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on with. I mean, you would think the bases, like, were increased, like, by 6 feet.
Yeah. No offense, like, what we're doing out here, but, like, I feel like I might 40 be stealing bases. Like, I might be, like, me and my current state of physicalness, I might be able to steal a base given the right circumstances.
Their new rule to be like hyper American is like the base must fit an entire Ford F-150 on it.
Yeah, right. Oh man. I love it. I mean, I'll tell you what, look, as a way to kind of wrap it up, it's like, you know, PleaseSack aside, the action of the game, and I know we've been watching a lot of Guardians because they're an action oriented team, but like, just in general, these games that I've been watching some of the other teams play, the action, man, it's there. I mean, You're seeing games go quick. There's lots of movement. There's things happening on the bases. You got to be defensively good. Like,
yeah,
you got to be, if you're like a White Sox team that's just like trash defensively, good luck in long season with this.
It's funny that you mentioned that team because that's one team where I haven't watched them yet this year. But that is a team where I'm like, yeah, I want to see how this pans out for them.
It's going to be a long year, some of their, I feel like, for them.
Yeah, I mean, I watched some of their games against Houston. Their bullpen got smoked. And then they got like blown out. Yeah, they're in... The rotation, they'll go as far as the rotation takes them.
Yeah.
That's really what it's going to be. And that could be a wild card team. I don't know if it could be the division, given the talent of like the Twins and
Cleveland. I don't think so.
But
they're hoping for us or the Twins to sustain a lot of injuries and slide into that wild card spot, I think.
Yeah. And just sort of like collapse. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. It's a week. We'll see.
Very early.
Real quick, before we wrap it up, Chris, we're doing our new segment, the CPL pitch clock.
Yeah, so in honor of the new pitch clock implemented by Major League Baseball, we're going to each episode try to at least have one, maybe two, maybe three, maybe a whole episode worth of some rapid fire questions that we have to kind of put on a timer. I don't know if anybody wants, does anybody have their phone readily available to try to answer these questions within, I'm going to pose the question and then we're going to just go around the horn, in rapid succession, answering the question in, hopefully as close to 20 seconds as possible.
Okay. You're going to answer it in 20 seconds.
That's what we all agreed upon beforehand. I apologize if I have misspoken, but today's question in line with thinking with our opponent, the Oakland Athletics, formerly the Kansas City Athletics, formerly the Philadelphia Athletics, and saying how much they need both on and off the field. Is this the third to last trip to Oakland for the Guardians, in that we will face the A's two times a year, one home, one away. This is our lone trip to Oakland this year. So theoretically it'd be this year, next year, and 2025, before they move elsewhere, presumably to Vegas, where the three of us will participate in a weekend that will go down.
That our wives will wish we never
they never agreed to let us participate in such a weekend extravaganza or weekday. I don't know. You know, whenever that series may occur.
Sure.
But is this one of the last times? One of the three last times that the Guardians make a trip to the Bay Area to face the Oakland Athletics. Go.
Okay, who's gonna go first?
Steve, go.
Okay, right. No, I think that there's still time because they have to announce that they're moving, then they have to announce that there's a stadium, and then they have to like get all their affairs in order. And so I don't think it's the third to last time. I think that's still like 5 years away. okay, before they even make the move to Vegas.
All right, fair.
Ooh, you just got it in there.
Ooh,
yeah, baby.
He got it in there with like just like about
5 seconds.
We'll call it 16 seconds.
Yeah.
All right, Fabs. Okay, let's say you.
I also agree. I don't think this. I think probably 5 years, because also they have to build the stadium. They don't have anything like ready.
True.
In Vegas, it's going to have a certain capacity. So I think 5 years until they're in Vegas.
All right.
Oh,
Fabs, 15 seconds.
All right.
All right. All right. All right. You ready, Fabs? I'm going to give you mine.
Right.
Go. So yeah, I agree with you guys. I think it's going to be 4 years though. I think the deal gets announced next year in January. Manfred has made that kind of an unofficial deadline. And I do think the A's are moving to Vegas and to the Tropicana property. That's it.
Oh, ooh,
that'd be a good one. Nice. That's a good property.
Yes. For those who haven't been to Vegas, the Tropicana is on the northwest corner of the airport out in Vegas. It's right on the strip. It's right across the street from MGM Grand. Diagonal-ish from where the Golden Knights and T-Mobile Arena are.
All would be in that. Yeah, they all would be in that area.
It'd be a very centralized district for both the arena, the stadium, and the football field the Raiders. So, I look forward to seeing a Guardians and Vegas A's, or if they choose to rebrand. Did they just tie the ball game up?
They did. Class A just blew a save.
Shit. Well, that being said, I do anticipate a weekend some kind of trip to Vegas in the foreseeable future here.
Okay. I like it. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up, even though we had to end on a somewhat sour note as Class A blew that save.
Just came up with a two-run bomb.
A blast. Center. Wow. Yeah, he was getting knocked around a little bit in this
well, hey, appearance. Well, hey, you know, good news. Statline, as out-of-town scores are coming by, our future outfield addition had 2 solo home runs today.
I saw that. Yeah, Brian Reynolds, that's correct. I saw that.
Until he's not traded to us, I'm going to keep beating that drum.
That's fair. All right. Well, in that spirit, keep the dream alive collectively. We'll be back, you know, obviously throughout the season. We're getting into the groove here. Ooh, a pitch clock violation. Ooh. Seen a few of those. Anyway, rate, review, subscribe. You know, check us out on social at Calpino Pod. And hey, we'll be on this journey with you, and we'll catch you later.